Hey everybody, it's Sunny. This week's episode is about Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. If you can hear me, I'm coughing. That's because I'm a little bit sick. Anyway, we have a great episode coming up on Friday about The Quick and the Dead over at subbeacon.com at the Patreon. And that episode is going to be for Patreon members forever, because we're probably not going to do a bonus episode again because of the coughing and the sickness. Anyway, if you want to listen to that episode at any point ever, you're just going to have to sign up for the Patreon, because it's never going to be here on the iTunes feed. So go sign up, Patreon, subbeacon.com. You'll easily find us. Little as a dollar a month.
What's the worry here, Nick? You've lost some of your talent as an actor?
No. What did he say?
He says he loves you, but he went in a different direction.
I'm done. I'm quitting acting. Tell the trades it was a tremendous honor to be a part of storytelling and mythmaking.
Ah, fuck, man, I'm driving through the hills. I'm sorry, one more time.
We got another offer. It's $1 million. It's to attend a wealthy gentleman's birthday party.
I would never do that.
It's the easiest gig ever. You play yourself.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL, welcome back. What is new with you?
Hey, man. Thank you guys for doing the show without me last week. I was up closing on a new house.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa.
Congratulations.
Going back to the homeland. Gabagoo. Oofah.
Now, can you get into specifics of where or?
North Jersey.
North. That's a
North
good
Jersey.
One.
North Jersey. Morris North. County.
North.
Morris County.
Yes. So where you get the pork roll, but I guess they call it Taylor ham up there.
The Taylor ham. Going to the Taylor ham section. I am going to be 2.2 miles from Shannon's folks.
Very nice.
So we could run to her parents' house. And
Morris County. How far are you from Action Park? Because now you're no longer Great Adventure centric. Like when you lived in Moorestown, you just go east. Now you have to go.
That's
now you're
right.
Just up the road to
just
Vernon.
Just up there. Just up there. Mawa is is not that far away.
That's
I think
nice.
Mawa is like 40 minutes or something like that.
They used to have a tennis tournament in Mawa.
Mawa. I want to go to the Wawa in Mawa.
You should.
I want to go to the Mawa Wawa.
It sounds silly, but it's actually, from what I've seen from the tennis tournaments few years ago, looks like a lovely place. Looks
Very
like a lovely
nice.
Place. Well, congratulations.
Do you guys have Wawas in New Jersey? Is it
right? Oh, what?
Yeah. Wawa's a Philly thing.
So it started.
Yeah, I thought that
Philly,
was a Philly thing.
And then
South Jersey
way.
Is Philly.
Yeah, it annexed South Jersey, and then finally moved its way down. I don't think it's up north. I don't think it's New England, right? I don't think you won't find a Wawa like in Boston.
No, you get like Quick Checks up there, right?
Quick Check. Wow, that's good.
Isn't that what you get up there in Boston?
That's right.
So I'm very excited. Everybody
get some amazing pizza up there.
Everybody's Italian. There is a place in Denville. This is the most anti-keto state in America. And so there is a place just called the Pasta Shop. Just the Pasta Shop.
Lots of
and
pasta.
And it is all they serve is pasta. And it's all takeout. And it's like the greatest pasta you've ever had in your life.
So it's like Barilla.
He's
Victorino,
trolling.
It's so good.
He's trolling. I bet it is.
So
and
good.
It's like a part of the world.
The guy owns it's named Sergio.
Oh, that's nice. It's like a part of the world where you can actually draw in customers with the words pasta house.
Yeah.
Like if you have it here in Arlington, people would flee. People would flee. Like burn it down. They'd say pasta house, burn it down. Cards.
Yeah. That there's another place nearby, exciting. A place called Madadonna, which is great.
Oh.
And here is something for you. In the little town which I have, which we are moving to, there is an Indian-Italian fusion. restaurant. Did you know such a thing existed, Victorino?
Question. Is this just a pizza place run by Indians?
No. No,
because it's like there's a Chicago pizza place on Lee Highway that's actually run by Indians.
No, it is an Indian fusion. I looked at their restaurant and it's like curries and lasagnas.
I remember Asia Cuba, but Indian Italian. No.
I haven't tried it. I gotta try it.
You have to try it. You have to try it and just bring a little bottle of Tums.
It's
it can go either way.
I'm sure it'll be great. So I'm doing that. We don't actually move until late June. Mm-hmm. Our Virginia house goes on the market 1 week from today.
Mm-hmm. Woo!
1 week from today.
Oh, wow.
It's great. Basically, everything we own is in storage. I've been living out of a duffel bag for 6 weeks already.
Is storage up there already? Storage?
Storage down here. Down here.
Is all your stuff in a pod? Do you have a pod?
No, it's in a self-storage place.
The pod in front of the pod storage. In the driveway that everybody sees.
Well, you can't do that because you got to sell the house. So the house is staged, so the entire house looks like an IKEA catalog right now. And, you know, I run around yelling at G-Money all day, saying, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. You can't go in there. Get your hands off the walls. We just repainted the walls. And he's like, Dad, what can I do? I'm like,
nothing.
No, that's, yes.
No. Nothing.
You sit there in silence. Stare at the wall.
Even the Nintendo is put away. Like, there's just nothing for them to do. But what I have been doing with him, I have been reading to him. Are you ready for this? Mm-hmm. Secret Wars.
Oh, Marvel?
Marvel comic from the 1980s.
The Marvel comic from the 1980s, Secret Wars.
Where the alien symbiote suit was introduced?
That's exactly. We read that issue.
In the Secret War, is that when they threw superheroes together? Like, how did I get zapped
superheroes
in here?
And supervillains? Yeah. The Beyonder. The Beyonder brought 12 superheroes or 15 superheroes and 15 supervillains together to Battle World. And this thing just popped up on his Kindle. So he's got a little, the kid's Kindle, and he was just paging through the Marvel books section, and it was there. And he just like, look at the cover. This cover looks amazing. Can we read it? I was like, yes.
So how do they
sew
into it? I have a question too, but go ahead, son.
I have a question. So in terms of reading a comic book on the Kindle.
Oh, this is my question.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm looking
it's
at my
so
Kindle
good.
Right now.
Are you looking
at right
like
now?
Frame
like,
by frame?
I have a Kindle.
He has a kid's Kindle.
What's a kid's Kindle?
It's like an actual tablet.
Oh, so it's a tablet. He has a tablet.
It is the Amazon's Kindle Fire for kids.
Okay.
So it is a full, you know, ultra HD screen. And what's brilliant about it is that you get each panel goes screen size.
I was
so you're not
say the
like
panel
looking.
Is,
okay.
So what you do That's is you great. Tap the screen and it brings you not to the page, but it goes panel by
panel,
panel along the page.
That's what I wanted to ask because it seems like a real pain to read page of
right,
a comic
you'd have to
book
then
on
zoom.
It.
This is one of the very few things in which the tablet version of it is infinitely superior to the hardcover. And I don't say this for normal comic book reading, because if it's just me reading to myself, I would much rather, because you know, you get to see the splash pages, right?
Where
the
grand
scheme really,
of it.
You can really soak in the art. But if you're reading to a kid, this is the best format.
Panel by panel would be.
That
and he loves
sense.
It. Great. I would say Secret Wars holds up.
Oh,
Secret Wars holds up. And it's a lot of the interior life of Dr. Doom, because Dr. Doom doesn't respect any of the villains that he's with and realizes that the only person who is smart enough to figure out a way out of this is Reed Richards. And even though he hates Reed Richards, he decides he's going to go over and talk to him. And it is interesting seeing how...
It's a funny idea that this concept...
Yeah, it's interesting seeing how... So it's been a long time since I've read any comic books with Iron Man in it.
Oh,
and the extent to which the Robert Downey Jr. version of Iron Man has become my own headcanon.
Right.
Wildly different than the comic book.
Is he not?
Well, certainly back then.
Sardonic.
Yeah. Like the...
I mean, not sardonic. He's not all that smart. He's really like a second or third tier hero.
That's funny.
He's much less important to the overall scheme of things. He's just not interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't interesting... Like ever, until the late 90s, early aughts. I mean, like he was just a very boring. I mean, even the like, oh, drunk Iron Man, he's struggling with alcoholism. It was like, eh, they did that better with Daredevil.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and the other thing I've been reading to him a little bit is I've been reading early Spider-Man. So we pulled up like also on his little Lee. Kindle, the Ditko Lee early Spider-Man. And I had forgotten the amazing extent to which that was pure soap opera for teen boys. Yeah. The amount of time spent on his crush on Betty versus his crush on Gwen and this and that. I mean, the fighting superhero criminal stuff is like this much. Mm-hmm. I'm putting my forefinger and thumb.
And it's high school. It's high school stuff.
It's high school stuff. That's and funny. It's just, it is deeply invested in all of the boyhood stuff. But the energy behind everything in from the art to the writing, to the narrative voice, because, you know, these books have narrators, right? And it is very much Stan Lee's mm-hmm. voice narrating. And here, Marvelites, you will notice that blah, blah, blah. You can see why people went crazy for it and why it revolutionized the industry. You just look at it and you're like, yes, I understand.
I get it.
I believe Betty, isn't she the news anchor in the Spider-Man movies?
Yeah. Yep. Anna Lee Gorey or something. She's very the actress.
Cute. Well, love and in it. the first one, the Raimi one, the Raimi trilogy, she's mm-hmm. played by Elizabeth Banks, right?
Wow.
Isn't Betty Brant? Betty Brant is like, she's like J. Jonah Jameson's assistant after high school.
Got it.
I think that's right. So anyway, how are you boys doing?
Yeah, Sonny, what is going on? I understand you have a coyote update for us.
Coyote update. Coyote update. So sad news in the neighborhood.
Did it kill your dog?
No, the coyote has killed several dogs, however.
Oh,
and
my
it also attacked and badly wounded like a 2-year-old kid.
What?
2-year-old was playing out in the front yard. Mom like ran inside, you know, to get something. Was out there with like his sister or something. And coyote like saw the kid, ran up and like grabbed it and tried to run away with it.
Like broad daylight.
Just in the middle of everywhere. So this coyote, they're
you putting together a posse in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you're
it's now it's now a whole thing. It's now a whole thing.
Have you asked for $10,000? I'll kill your coyote. Well, I want $10,000.
They're
gonna put a barrel on him.
The moms of the neighborhood are like putting together money to get like Critter Cody or some guy, basically like. The Dallas, Texas version of Quint to get out there. And,
I'm sorry, the dads of Texas. This is Texas, where everybody's got a six shooter and it spurs.
Not really in my neighborhood. It's
10-gallon hat.
Spurs.
It's a real thing. We're now at the point where like the cops are driving around and like. You know, in force, trying to find this coyote, we get like live video feeds of it from random people walking around, and like one went out today, and the park rangers who are like in the area were like, "Well, we can't do anything because it's going back to its natural habitat." It was like it wasn't in the neighborhood; it was like just outside of the neighborhood, you know, in the woods or whatever. And they were like, "Well, we can't do anything," and it's just like this is how like Freddy Krueger mobs get formed. You know, we're gonna trap it in a basement and push it into the furnace. We're gonna be out there, you know, like crucifying innocent coyotes, finding whole, you know,
Freddy Krueger. What you gotta do,
Sonny, is after you guys kill it, you gotta gut it. Okay, take all the viscera out,
mm-hmm.
and then you mount the head.
On a pike
with the pelt hanging down behind it. You stick that out on the entrance to the neighborhood so all the other coyotes,
they come by, they see
it, and they go, oh no, I see what they do to our kind in there. Mm-hmm. And they just bypass your neighborhood and go somewhere else.
Or like in Game of Thrones, where they when they killed Richard Stark's wolf.
Oh, the dire
the king
wolf.
Of the king of the north. Yeah, they killed his dire wolf.
Oh, and then they
cut its head off and put it on.
Sonny, you
could
wear. You could wear. You could be the king of the north. King of the south.
I could do it. No, it's not. It's but it's bad. It's like the like it's like it's it it has gone from being like a like kind of like quirky like oh there's a coyote wandering around the neighborhood to like the coyote is like going like so what happened
they're
was
unafraid.
Like,
the coyote kind of taste for children.
There's like ring footage of the coyote going up and like taking people. You know, people get groceries delivered, right? And just like going up and like grabbing boxes of groceries and stuff and wandering off with it.
They're unafraid.
And now it's not afraid of anyone in the neighborhood at all. Like when people see it on the street, they like make noise to get it to go away. It just kind of saunters along like fuck off. I'm gonna
gotta be out
kids.
There with your six shooter.
Wait till it wait till it tries to go for somebody big, like an adult or something. That then you know it's crazy, you know, or rabid.
There's it's bad. It's so we're I don't know. I'm wandering around now just with my Glock shooting it up in the air.
Question,
like,
Sonny. Question.
Yeah.
Are they supposed to be traveling in packs, or is this a renegade?
Well, coyotes do travel in packs, mm-hmm. but this one is, there's one in particular that's been like coming into the neighborhood and
interesting. And they're pretty sure it's the same one.
Pretty sure it's the mm-hmm. same one. I mean, I'm a coyote racist. Mm-hmm. They all look alike to me. So I can't tell you for certain if I've seen the same one over and over again or if it's been different ones, but I've seen a coyote like three
times.
They
all know
now,
each other.
Just wandering around.
Is it about dogs?
If I see it while I'm driving around, I'm going to just run it over. Yeah, I'm going to drive into somebody's yard and run it down and be like, oops.
Oh, sorry. And then it turns out to be a dog. Oh, sorry. I didn't know that was your dog. Are they about dog size now? What are you talking? German Shepherd size, or are we?
They're probably about this coyote is probably about as tall as a smallish German Shepherd. Not like a huge German Shepherd, mm-hmm. but like a smallish.
And mangy.
It's much skinnier. It's much
mangy.
Skinnier and like narrower. It's not. Yeah, narrower. It's not big like a German Shepherd, or a husky or
that's
like
very
a. It's very narrow.
That's great.
I mean, like again, it went from being like kind of quirky, like coyote in the neighborhood, crazy. To like fuck coyote in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I know.
So this is not. I take it a Hank the Tank situation. You remember Hank the Tank, the beloved bear out on top?
Right.
No.
Right. The lovable.
So with Hank the Tank, people were like, "No, we shouldn't kill it. We should relocate." I assume that everybody in your neighborhood is out for blood and wants
this thing dead.
Point,
at this point, we want to like string its guts for garters. Like it's
because he violated. He violated the.
Well, he broke coyote code.
The code.
You know,
exactly.
It's one thing you can't look if a coyote's just wandering around. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. We're not gonna
if it kills a dog, kills some chickens.
That's right. Well,
a chicken kills a
you know kills
a chicken.
Like okay, you probably shouldn't have chickens in the neighborhood anyway. But whatever. Like, but if it kills a dog, mm-hmm. that's bad. But like again, it's like you know, animal on animal violence. Whoa. But like.
That
attacking a person, attacking a 2-year-old kid, like that coyote's got to go. That coyote's got to go with extreme prejudice.
That's horrifying. So they basically just go for normally, though. I mean, okay. So two more questions. One is, I find it surprising that they're out in broad daylight. That's disconcerting because I imagine
they're
they're dawn and dusk type animals, but I guess not.
Well, there is some talk about whether or not this dog, mm-hmm. this coyote, is rabid. But doesn't seem to be. It's not right. moving like mm-hmm. it's rabid. It's just like out in the daytime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's just okay. it just wants to be out and doing things.
And it's not afraid of anyone anymore.
And
what are they normally like trying to tip over like garbage cans and stuff like that?
No. I mean, again, like literally, just like going up to people's yards and like getting like if you've had food delivered or
we do literally a pea pod delivery that's actually full of arsenic.
It's like
that kind of
alien.
I was going to say in a bear trap, but the garbage the bags in the middle. Yeah,
I was thinking about like the machine guns and aliens that are just on a tripod getting motion. You know,
this is
like that coyote.
This is fascinating. You guys need pitchforks and torches.
I mean, that is it really is to just about the point where it's like if the city government is not going to take care of this, mm-hmm. then like the good citizens of Lake Highlands are going to have
take
to.
The law.
And once we get a taste for vigilantism, who knows where that's going to end?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like the coyotes, like the coyotes getting out of control.
One of your neighbors who maybe pirated the new Nick Cage movie.
Oh, he'll.
You're
going
to find out about
do.
That, and drone. You go out there. You'll lead that's the mob right. over to their house, right?
That's why I have. That's why I'm investing heavily in drones.
to do that kind of work, the spy, and
not
then
just some a of those coyote, razor drones. But this person over there went to Pirate Bay.
Fire a hellfire rocket at it.
No, okay. No. I mean, it's it's so anyway, it's bad. It's bad here in terms of. I have to go out with the dog now every time. I can't just like put her out in the backyard.
Oh,
I
yeah,
go
your
out there,
dog.
You know,
oh, yeah.
like that's oh, I gotta go out
difference.
There with the kids.
Oh,
know.
And the kids.
Somebody said, and I still don't know that I believe this, but somebody said that the coyote like jumped up over a fence.
They
got somebody's dog.
No.
I don't entirely buy that.
I'm
I mean, like a small
underestimate.
Fence, like a small chain link fence or something like that. Yeah, but like I have like my fence okay. is like 8 feet high. I'm not super worried about.
Is this
a coyote
or a velociraptor?
Up. Well, that's a like now the coyote's starting to take on
she
like
thinks.
Mythic qualities.
The Jabberwocky.
Yeah. It's like oh god, I came outside and there were 8 exsanguinated goats. Couldn't figure out what was going on. It must have been the coyote.
Coyote is
a chupacabra.
Chupacabra. It's the, what was it? The goat. What was it called? The goat killer?
The goat sucker.
Goat sucker. Yeah, chupacabra.
Victorino, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Unlike the coyote.
How's your toe feeling?
Toe's feeling fine, even okay. though I've had a lot of shellfish lately. Unlike coyote, I actually go for the scraps. You know, I'm not going for fresh groceries. I'm going for the old groceries.
Right.
So, in fact, here's an interesting situation. So my in-laws have left to go back to Connecticut for the summer. And then as soon as they got back, my mother-in-law calls Kate and says, oh, I forgot there's a few things. If you go to the apartment at some point, there's like thermostat stuff, that, you know, things that they forget about, put this way. Can you check on this? And plants and whatever. And also, oh, we had bought cold cuts. We forgot to take them with us or throw them out. Can you do that so it doesn't stink up the fridge? I'm like, well, I said, hold on.
Can't waste it.
I said, when did she buy it? She goes, I don't know. But, you know, they left, like, you know. Over the weekend, and she says, I don't know when I'm going to get up there. I'll eventually, in a couple of weeks, I guess I'll get up to the apartment to check on things. I'm thinking I might go after the show. I know where she keeps her keys, Kate. I will take the key from a keychain, and I will drive it in the middle of the night.
How far?
See, down to Roslyn. Down to Roslyn, 4 miles. Get in there.
Oh, that's not far at all.
Go upstairs, go into the... And maybe hang out there, fix myself a drink, and just see what I just want to see what the date is. What is the sell-by date? That's what I want to know. And what kind of cold cuts are we talking about?
Is it are we talking about like fresh from the deli?
Unclear. Oh yeah, if it turns out to be like the Oscar Mayer in the no, I don't know about.
Yeah,
that.
Nobody wants that.
No, nobody wants that.
Or if it's like Boar's Head, if it's Boar's Head roast beef or something,
I will revive that. And if it's like even if it has a slight off taste, you cook that. You put that in a pan. Oh, it's problem solved.
That's not how that works. I don't
really
think.
Well, works,
I don't,
it
I don't
works.
Think you should eat rancid roast
no,
beef
it
even if you cook it.
It works for me, and make sure when you go to bed that you're near a toilet. But at least you didn't waste it.
How close do you have to be to the toilet?
6 feet.
You mean like go to sleep
Six
next
feet.
To it?
No, I'm
like
on
in
it.
The bathroom?
I, no, if it's particularly bad, I might sleep on it. I just
Elvis
know.
Style.
Yeah, that's right. Elvis, I just tilt my head. On the wall. Oh, okay. You know, at least I didn't waste it. Speaking of leftovers, over the weekend, The Bad Guys remained at the top of the box office with $16.2 million. I can't believe that. Followed by Sonic the Hedgehog 2 with $11.5 million. And bringing up the rear is Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore.
So to
with
speak.
I was wondering why I wrote that. $8.3 million. Box office thoughts, obviously, this is the eve before the big one.
Slow.
Or is it a big one? Sonny, yeah. I've been hearing there's some pushback on this movie coming up. Oh, tell everybody, what are we talking about?
Well, first off, the most interesting thing about the box office this week was none of that, but the fact that Everything Everywhere All at Once declined 0%.
Oh, yeah.
It actually held perfectly in the I'll pull up. You've neglected to mention it for some reason. The great movie that is beloved
by most,
by
but not
audiences,
all. By not all,
and critics alike.
Fooled.
It was actually up. It was actually up 2.2% weekend to weekend.
Have they expanded theaters?
Sixth weekend.
Have they expanded theaters for it?
It added 80. It added 80 screens this week. I think those were all. Those were all IMAX though. There was a there was like an off week on IMAX, so they put it back in all the IMAX theaters. But it grossed $5.5 million this weekend, which is slightly better than it did the weekend before. The weekend before, it had grossed $5.4 million. So look it's at the, word of
really
mouth.
Just coasting along.
Word of mouth is fantastic on this one. It is looking, it could, it depends on what happens this weekend with Doctor Strange.
Well, I think it's going to.
We'll see what happens. We'll talk about that in a second because Doctor Strange is putting up huge tracking numbers. But the but you know we need to we really need to celebrate the great success of Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, you're all in on that one.
Huge win. Going to be a big hit. Yeah, going to be A24's highest grossing movie if it holds similarly this weekend. We'll see. But I don't think it will hold similarly this weekend because I think everything is going to get blown out of the water by Doctor Strange.
It's up
to the multiverse.
Is everything
madness.
Everywhere up to like 40 million now for like.
It's at 35. It's at 35 million. Which is, again, so at $35 million, like $35 million doesn't sound like a lot. It is, however, currently the fourth highest grossing movie ever released by A24, which is, again, it's a smaller studio.
You know
studio.
Why? Because the ending isn't completely dark and depressing. And
well, you know what the highest grossing is?
Midsommar?
No.
What?
Uncut Gems.
Oh, okay. Uncut Gems only movie that JVL walked out of.
I'm sorry.
You want to think Uncut about Gems. You talk about the movies I don't like. Man, Sonny and I liked it. And
I was shocked. I was shocked. I figured JVL would want to see Adam Sandler get his comeuppance at the end of that.
No,
one.
I know. Okay.
If I had known he was going to get shot, I would have stayed.
You got to stick to the end. I keep on having to watch this ridiculous. It's a trailer. So you get to see A24 trailers, and it's what is this one where she this
men.
Is that what it's called? Yeah,
is that
she
one?
Goes
is
in,
that the one?
And she has the echo into the darkness, and then the song, what is happening?
So that's from that is from Alex Garland. That's directed by Alex Garland.
No, it's not
who
like
made
Blumhouse. It feels very Blumhouse.
It's elevated horror. It's highbrow horror. I've talked to a couple of people who have seen it, and it is. So the title of the movie is Men. The basic premise that we see from the trailer is a woman whose husband killed himself goes to stay at some house in the countryside, and all of the guys in this town are played by the same actor for some reason, and they're all basically trying to gaslight her in one way or another. It's going to be about how men are bad. I'm going out on a limb, right. Going out on a limb, and gonna that's what the point of this movie is going to be. We'll see how it does. I like the director who made it. It was Alex Garland. He made Ex Machina and Annihilation. Mm. And he also wrote Sunshine and The Beach and 28 Days Later and a bunch of other stuff. So I like him
a lot.
Which
Sunshine is that, Sonny? Which Sunshine? Not Ray Fiennes Sunshine.
No,
Danny
Sunshine,
Boyle.
The Danny Boyle one with starring Cillian Murphy. And
oh,
he has to restart the sun. He goes on a mission Sunshine. To restart the sun. Okay. It's called Sunshine. It's good. I don't think you would like it, Vic, but it's good.
thank you.
But anyway,
saving
so
me some time.
That movie comes out in a couple weeks, I think, in Dallas.
So
anyway,
so Doctor Strange.
Give me a number, Sonny. Give me a number for Doctor
Strange.
That's
what we want to know, and I want to
know
what JVL
the number
thinks.
I am seeing. So there are a couple interesting little things going on with this movie. The projections I am seeing are between $175 and $200 million. Which is a big number. Big number.
That's
very,
a very
big number, obviously. I want to highlight three things from The Quorum, which is a website that follows tracking numbers, okay? The Quorum has a nice little feature where you can compare two movies. So I want to just compare very briefly Doctor Strange and Spider-Man No Way Home. Because I do think that this is going to put up numbers approaching Spider-Man No Way Home. Spider-Man No Way Home had higher awareness at its release date. It had a higher awareness number, but I don't think awareness is really an issue. I think everybody knows basically that this is coming out. Spider-Man No Way Home also had a higher interest number. More people were interested in Spider-Man No Way Home. However, there is one very important piece of data here. There's a field that the Quorum tracks location. Where would you prefer to see this film? In theory, the way the poll originally started was in theaters or at home. But the question now is just, are you interested in seeing it in a theater, basically? And whereas Spider-Man No Way Home was at 60% interested in seeing it at a theater on opening weekend, Doctor Strange is at 70%.
What? I thought it was going to be lower.
More people are interested. A higher percentage of people are interested in seeing this movie in theaters than Spider-Man No Way Home. And Spider-Man No Way Home opened to about $250 million, right? It was a huge, huge hit. I don't think Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is going to do that. But I could see it putting up $215 to $235 million.
Oof.
I mean, the idea that
JVL.
A Doctor Strange movie, which the first Doctor Strange opened to, I want to say 45.
No, it's like 70. It did okay.
That they could get the opening of that to 3X. It's just another demonstration of Marvel's strength as a brand, mm-hmm. and that the IP is so strong.
Yeah.
That they can do with like Shang-Chi and Doctor Strange, these, you know, tertiary characters.
Yeah, and McMagic.
Doctor Strange, I mean, the thing about Doctor Strange is at least it is connected to, you know, Marvel Phase 2 and 3. Right. Like, people remember it from the Thanos movies. There are lots of, you know, people are going to want to go see it opening weekend to avoid being spoiled of all the cameos.
Oh, is that okay?
Cameos.
Sonny, have you seen the movie yet?
I have seen the movie.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't spoil it for us.
I won't spoil it. I won't.
So there are, because I don't know of any cameos, so I should go in with that. That's good.
Yeah, that's good. I have a question for you, Sonny.
I hope it's from the Eternals. I hope the Eternals make the cameo.
Is Angelina Jolie show?
Oh, thank God.
Is Top Gun going to be the monster I think it is?
Has to
be. I don't know why.
So that's another one.
I just have a feeling that people want to see this movie.
Yes.
So here, I think two things at the same time. One, I'm kind of surprised that people are talking about it as like a must-see movie.
It's a great trailer. That said, the most recent, everything, the last trailer is fantastic.
Everything I have heard from everyone who has seen it is that they're just all blown away by it.
Oh,
like absolutely blown away by it. That it, like, the Paramount kept it out off of their streaming service for a reason. They kept it to be a big summer release for a reason, that the word of mouth on it is going to be amazing.
This is Memorial Day?
We think it's a Memorial Day release, yeah. But it's everything I have heard about it from people who have seen it. I have a friend who's going to the premiere tonight to see it in San Diego. Everything that I have heard about this movie is that it is going to be an enormous, massive, monstrous hit with people who go see it. People who go see it love it. So whether that translates to good enough word of mouth to keep it going, we'll see. But I've heard very, very strong things, despite the fact, I mean, look, it's a legacy sequel. That nobody was asking for, starring a guy who is, frankly, like, outside of the Mission Impossible movies at this point, is kind of hit and miss.
A lot of skepticism. A lot of skepticism when you first heard about this. And
I was skeptical. I'm still a little skeptical because I've never been a huge Top Gun guy. I'm just not, like, it's.
I think it's before your time. It's before your time.
It's good, but it's a little before my time.
Yeah, I know. I know. Sorry, there's no video showing me a JVL.
Victorino and I are both. We are both shaking our heads in disapproval.
Yeah,
not a Top Gun guy.
Well, I'm not a Top Gun guy. I mean, it's an okay movie. It's like,
you know,
Tony
what's great
Scott's
about it? No
seventh or eighth best movie.
No CGI is what I loved about it. They flew.
It's like
those
Tom
things.
Cruise's 20th best movie.
Victorino, I had a question for you.
Yes, I joined the Civil Air Patrol after that movie. If I wasn't blind as a bat, I'd be an F-14 pilot right now.
At the time.
Yes.
At the time.
Yes, yes, Jeffy.
No, don't go, like, you know, with the current knowledge. Mm-hmm. At the time, Meg Ryan or Kelly McGillis?
Oh, Kelly McGillis. Kelly McGillis. She reminded me of somebody I knew, so I was like, oh yeah, so there was this thing. But, while we're talking about this, why couldn't she have made an appearance in this movie?
Meg Ryan?
Say it. Why not? Yes.
Who, Kelly McGillis?
No. Both. That would be great. And I know there are questions.
How do we know that Kelly McGillis isn't in it?
That would be wonderful.
Right.
But what's her name is in it instead? Like the woman in this movie is
Jennifer Connelly.
Thank you, Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly, right. Yeah.
But why
Who's
not?
Ageless somehow.
Because Jennifer Connelly is ageless like Tom Cruise is ageless. Yeah. I mean, that's the real reason.
But not like... Not
Jennifer
like...
Connelly looks amazing for a 50-year-old woman, and Kelly McGillis looks like a properly aged mid-50s woman.
Which
I mean,
also
like, just...
is fine, but it's like... Like, I have to, speaking of Tom Cruise, you know, before any movie in AMC, I have to see the Nicole Kidman promo for AMC. And she's, you
it's
know.
Insufferable.
And she's got, you know, it's a lot of work done. She has no wrinkle. Yes, thank you, Sonny. Oh, if only the video showed Sonny's impression
of
Nicole. I thought I was looking at Nicole Kidman with a beard. That's what I was looking at just now.
She was with Tom?
Well, dead. Wow. D-E-D, okay.
Dead.
D-E-D dead.
So what about Meg Ryan? What do you think? Do you think they asked her or do you think they didn't ask her?
No idea. I don't know.
No,
come on.
We'll
Sorry, see. JVL, give me something. Come
we'll
on.
See it. Well, she's the mother of the Goose
the
character, right?
Of, yes.
the...
of Miles Teller. She would be Miles Teller's mother.
Yeah. You know what? I'm just so there for this movie.
Good. I hope
so
they don't.
Have...
Is she being replaced by another actress? We don't know.
I actually already have my tickets, so I'm excited to go see it.
You're not seeing a screener for this.
I assume there will probably be a screening, but I bought tickets just in case.
Okay.
Because they have it showing the Wednesday before it comes out at my local draft house. Mm-hmm. So I have tickets for that just in case. But hopefully there's a screening at the IMAX because I want to see it on IMAX. I want to be deafened by the afterburners.
Yeah.
In IMAX.
And again, because they're flying F-18s, and I believe a lot. I'm looking at the footage. And it looks like they're flying I think Tom Cruise would, of course, be an actually... Like, he's in the back seat of a plane when they're filming this, yes? With cameras and
well,
everything?
Well, there's something like 300 hours of aerial footage or some insane amount of...
That's my...
Like,
noise,
aerial footage.
You. Yes. That's what I want. That's
when,
what I want.
When they reveal that this is taking place in a parallel universe, Vic is going to lose his shit at the theater.
That's right. He's going to see each other. He's going to be this other
Tom Cruise.
When it
Tom
turns
Cruise
out it's Top
through,
Gun in the multiverse.
Why, yeah,
Tom Cruise goes through a sonic boom and all of a sudden it's 17 Tom Cruises.
Again, you can't
Vic
see
is going to be very unhappy.
You can't see me. I'm getting very upset now. Okay. We're not talking...
Everything everywhere all at once in the air.
Yeah, that would be it. So... 35 minutes in. We are actually talking about a movie that's not quite as exciting as Top Gun.
Area podcaster shoots up theater.
It's very desert. It did not take my breath away. Okay. We are talking about a movie that came in number 6 on the box office this week. That would be the very unwieldy name, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. It's a long title. Star, I might as well say to Wong Fu, thanks for everything,
Julie Newmar.
Had a great time. See you next week. Starring Nick Cage, which they got a lot of great potential. I'll save my comments for later. Sonny, how about a big boy review?
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent is the much-awaited, much-anticipated movie where Nick Cage plays Nick Cage. Oh, it's high concept. Nick Cage plays an actor named Nick N-I-C-K Cage, who is he's in debt, not technically to the IRS in this film. He actually owes the Sunset Tower $600,000+ because he has stayed there for a year and they want their money. And he's trying to get one last big part from a hotshot director played by David Gordon Green in this. I don't know if you guys caught that.
Who is he?
But David Gordon Green is he's made the two most recent Halloween movies. He's a
oh so like, he's like a real
indie,
he's probably playing himself.
An indie, but he's a real director. He's trying to get this one last big part, and they go another way, and he decides to. He's gonna earn $1 million by going to the birthday party for an international kingpin of crime, played by the
Pedro.
Mandalorian himself, Pedro Pascal, and goes there, gets hijacked by the CIA, who's like, hey, this guy may have kidnapped the daughter of a presidential candidate to get to be able to do drug deals in Catalonia. You gotta figure out what's going on there. And it becomes kind of a standard action comedy of the studio Hollywood mold. And that's it. That's the movie. So here's the thing. There are two different movies here. The first movie is a relatively clever, I think fairly funny critique of Hollywood and the idea of movie acting versus movie stardom. Okay, that's about the first 30 minutes of this movie, and it has lots of nice little jokes, like the aforementioned David Gordon Green appearance, the fact that Nick Cage is constantly riffing with a imaginary version of himself from the Wild at Heart era. He's played by this, like, he has this, like, terrible, creepy, de-aged CGI thing going on, which I think is actually, like, part of the meta joke here. And all sorts of, there are little funny tidbits, like the bit about,
there's a couple good throwaway lines.
You know, I have to be the gay uncle what are those brothers' names? Duplass Brothers movie? Like they're little funny jokes that are like very specific to this moment in Hollywood and also like the idea of a guy trying to like get back to where he was. The movie in this part reminds me a little bit of Adaptation.
Two Nick Cages.
So that movie was directed by Spike Jonze, written by Charlie Kaufman. It is essentially about Charlie Kaufman trying to write the adaptation of Susan Orlean's book, The Orchid Thief. Mm-hmm. And he has in that movie an imaginary brother named Donald Kaufman, who's real in the movie, but not real in real life.
I was going to say, wait a minute, I saw the movie. You're telling me he was fake?
Oh, he's real in the movie, not real in real life. And it's all about, again, that tension between selling out and doing the Hollywood thing and like being true to yourself and being an artist. And that movie is great. And it culminates in a third act that is essentially an ironic mocking of like, how would you tell this? How would you end this movie in a studio fashion? And it's great. It like all works really well.
You're talking about Adaptation.
As an ironic comment. So this movie is 30 minutes of that. And then it's like 75 minutes of a very standard, I would argue, subpar action comedy from a big studio movie that has big studio beats, that stars big studio people in comic relief roles like Tiffany Haddish, who I almost always hate. I thought she was very good in The Card Counter, but I just find her generally grating elsewhere. And she is in full grating mode here. And Ike Barinholtz, who I find generally grating all the time. I like him in some things, but I generally find. And they are both being very standard Haddish Barinholtz roles, and it's very annoying. The whole thing is this. The whole thing tries
it's
to
very
do
annoying.
The ironic comment on you know, oh, if we were a terrible Hollywood movie, we would have an action beat here, but this is a character driven thing, but it's not, but we have to have a trailer moment, so we have to do, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. It's not funny. All the best jokes are in the trailer, which we've seen a million times. It's really very disappointing. The whole thing is very, very disappointing. I was really looking forward to this. And I would have overlooked a lot, I think, to champion this movie and be like, this is the thing we need. Nick Cage needs to make his comeback.
Great idea.
And it does not work. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work. I'm sorry. I wanted to like it and I did not like it, sadly.
JVL, did you get a chance to see it?
I did. I liked it. I didn't
love
it.
Oh, you did?
I didn't love it. But I was charmed enough. I was charmed enough by it to enjoy it. And it's not a great movie. If it had been 30% more madcap, then it could have become an instant classic. Like it's not off kilter enough, right? I mean, the meta-ness that my favorite joke in the whole movie is when the young version of himself, Nicky, is berating him at a bar and then kisses him and he's making out with himself and he enjoys it. It's just fabulous. Everything about that is a fabulous moment and a fabulous beat. But the rest of the script is just dialed back a little bit from that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I was charmed by it. I enjoyed spending time with Nick Cage and Pedro Pascal, like going around stoned. I don't even really like stoner stuff. I don't know.
Maybe,
Sonny, is it possible that you were too keyed up expecting this to be
classic? It's certainly possible. And look, here's the other thing is I most of the stuff with Nicolas Cage, I actually like. Like, he's always interesting to watch. He's always doing interesting things. And even the stuff that I think is slightly off key, like, for instance, his delivery of the monologue from the Boston crime drama, where he is like, it's bad. I mean, it's like intentionally bad. He's doing it intentionally. Like, that's not what it's Nick Cage making fun of himself, but making fun of himself in the wrong way. Mm. Like, I don't think he would deliver something that bad.
How about the very patient setup where Cage has asked Pedro Pascal's character Javi his three all-time best movies, and he goes Face Off, then he names this like experimental German cinema from 1930.
The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
And then at like the end, you know, we get like 45-second montage of the two of them drinking here and drinking like this all-night bender, just trying to hash out the best movie ever. And he finally sees Paddington 2. And
you've mentioned this, and this is a funny thing because you mentioned this.
A legitimately great movie.
I would really like to see this now.
Flips out at him and yells at him, and we then smash cut to the two of them as the credits are rolling on Paddington 2, and Cage is bawling. Which is, again, if you have seen Paddington 2, you makes the joke even better. John Padoris is right now nodding his head along with me.
Felt memey. Felt like a meme. Felt like they were trying to make a meme happen.
I don't even understand that criticism, honestly.
It's how I feel about everything in Thor Ragnarok. Like you might be wondering how I got here moment from the trailer, and like it's like they're going out of their way to do something that will appeal to the internet people and like will become a meme,
like fan service.
Nicolas Cage crying about watching Paddington 2 is like Twitter bait. That's just it's Twitter bait is what it is.
I don't understand.
I hit the dislike button.
As I said, I don't understand that criticism.
I turned the knob down. I turned my Frank Luntz knob down.
Could you criticize the art itself instead of...
You have the Frank Luntz meter? Do you do that when you're watching in the screener, Sonny?
I wish I had one of those. I would be working it all the time.
Sonny, could you criticize the art itself instead of your
frustration
with the expected reaction of the audience?
Been criticizing the art itself this whole time. I don't think it works.
Yeah,
the movie doesn't work for me.
I would not go back and watch it again. It is not an instant classic. It is not a legendary. But on the other hand, I thought it was just charming enough, and I did not begrudge a single minute that I spent with it. So it probably is 15 minutes too long, but I didn't.
Which is funny for
it didn't
an hour
bother me.
47.
Not a long movie. None of that bothered me.
It's both like slightly too long, and it's both clearly had some stuff ripped out of it.
Yes,
like for instance, when they get to the CIA, and like Ike Barinholtz is already dead.
Yes,
yeah,
and then Tiffany Haddish had been shot, and she's like,
"Wait, what happened to Ike Barinholtz?"
It's like, "Wait, what happened?"
And he's a legitimate actor. He's not some B actor or whatever. He's not a some. Unknown. I mean, he's.
Yeah,
you know,
it feels.
So
it feels like
sudden,
they ripped like
we
15
went from
minutes
the van
out of that part of the
and
story.
Suddenly,
this and Lost City
happened?
Of D, both neither sort of lived up to their potential. Right, Lost City of D could have been, again, it just wasn't written well enough. It could have been like really, really good. It could have been old school levels of outstanding if it just been written better. But it wasn't. It was
plus
just sort of
the
CGI fine.
And the
this,
Lost City.
But this. I don't know. I enjoyed it. Like, look, if you go to the movies every week, and this is the movie you see that week, then you're pleased with it. Okay. So yeah, that was fun. Victorino, what'd you think?
I was not expecting to like it. Then I really started to enjoy myself in the first 30 minutes or so, and then once the CIA thing happened, once he landed in Mallorca, which by the way is the Cancun for Germans. That's like that's their Daytona Beach.
So the Mallorcans hate it.
It's like it's great, but it's like a million tourists there, and they're all from Germany. And then I just got so annoyed by that whole thing and just plot holes, and I just feel like things jumped. And so on the quadrant score, I was going to give the plot an A+. That's very easy, straightforward. But then the CIA thing happened, and I got so angry that I dropped it to a C. They were in the van telling him, oh, we're with it. You know, it's like the worst line of the, we're with the CIA, you know, or whatever it is, and you've got to help us. Really? What was your plan? Because you weren't expecting Nick Cage to be there. What was the, I'd like to know what the original plan is. And suddenly they jumped to, I thought he was imagining in his mind what he'd have to do, but suddenly we jumped to the birthday party and he's doing all this stuff. And then, again, the thing with suddenly she, and again, you know, he's talking to, Nick Cage is talking to Tiffany Haddish, and I was just like, I was just really annoyed. And then all of a sudden I see like Barrett Holt's in a chair and he's either knocked out or dead. Do you think, yeah. And is she, does she die at the, do they both die? What happened?
I think they both die.
They both died.
Victor, yes. Did you not enjoy just that. The sort of buddy no. comedy so, hangout stuff with Pedro Pascal and
kind
Nick Cage?
Kind of, and I like Pedro Pascal in this, by the way. So
they
duration,
have a nice chemistry together.
Duration is an A. Action violence, it was like a B. And sex nudity is an F. And I'd like to bring this is a rated R movie, and there's a lot of profanity in this movie, but I'd like to bring up Face Off when. John Travolta, well, okay, it's hard to explain, but it's John Travolta, Nick Cage. I mean, I'm sorry, not, yeah, John Travolta, Nick Cage, and they do the face-off, and so it's now John Travolta, but secretly Nick Cage inside him pretending, and so he's now a villain. He comes home, discovers he has a family. He knew he had a wife, but then John Travolta.
Joan Allen. Oh, and the girl, oh, the yeah, daughter, the, right?
Was that like, Alicia Cuthbert?
Oh,
in
boy.
My mind, it was. And he opens the door, and she's there, on the bed, like, oh,
it
hey,
wasn't.
Dad.
I'll look that up.
And she's, like, only, like, in, like, short shorts and something. And do you remember what John Travolta says under his breath? Because it's terrifying. It's, like, really scary because, you know, he's not the dad, but it's creepy. And he just says under his breath, the plot thickens. Okay? It's, you get points for that. There was, anyway.
Dominique Swain.
Oh, Dominique Swain. So yeah. close. Yeah. Yes, Dominique Swain as in Lolita.
Yes.
Okay.
As in,
that's really, you know, that's you know, great work. It's great work. Okay. I think there was a lot of potential in this. I like the idea of wanting to know what people, I think, in general, want to know. What are actors like when they're not in character? Like, what are they as themselves? And it's amusing, even if they're pretending, like John Malkovich and being John Malkovich.
Yeah. I mean, I think this movie has some good ideas, and I do think there's something interesting in the scene where Nick Cage is like, well, they say I work too much. How can I work too much? You know, I'm just an actor. I like to work. This is what I do. And like the tension between stardom and choosing star projects and being a working actor and trying to work all the time is a real one, mm-hmm. and I think mm-hmm. it's interesting. And I just like. I don't know, man. I wanted the whole thing to be like the first 30 minutes,
yes.
and only the first 30
no,
minutes
I,
was like the first 30
I,
minutes.
I agree. There are a couple of funny lines. You talk about these little bits. One of them is, you know, I think it's when Nick Cage discovers Pedro Pascal's shrine to Nick Cage.
How much did you pay for that?
Right, which is a great line again, but it's in the trip.
I'll give you, it's grotesque. I'll give you $20,000 for it.
20. He doesn't have money. there was a reference. I think it was like, oh, that's the gun from, he said, Captain, not the one for Face Off, but Captain Corelli's
mandolin.
And what does he say? He in underrated. Passing. In passing, he goes, oh, yeah. Oh, it's underrated. He's
thank, and I think Nicolas Cage says thank you or right. something, right?
No,
like, it's like
yeah,
a very,
yeah, he was like,
no, it's nice.
He goes,
it's
he's like, yeah, thank you. No, it is underrated, he says. And that's really funny.
No, his vanity. To the fact that in the very beginning, when he's in a therapy session, it turns out it's not about his therapy. It's like him and his daughter, and he has nothing to say about it.
No,
it's hysterical.
He's completely, because he's self-obsessed, as many actors can be, I imagine. And then there was a, the other thing was at the very end of the movie, and he's talking about his belt buckle. And he said, oh, did you hear not the bees? And he says, oh, yeah, not the bees, though. He said, because it could be like bees bubble, because not the bees. I mean, that's funny.
Wicker Man, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I it's funny. And the idea, as you mentioned about the other Nick Cage, his alt, you know, his imaginary Nick Cage is younger. It was also, if you notice, not only how he was, you know, CGI young, the voice was slightly younger sounding than the old Nick Cage, too. And there were moments when imaginary Nick Cage actually had the same voice as from when Peggy Sue got married. Do you remember how ridiculous, he was very young at the time, but he had that ridiculously high sort of voice in,
it's like a really interesting movie. Character.
Yeah. So that was interesting, but I have to tell you, that whole CIA thing, that plot just really tanked it for me.
It's just so generic and boring and blah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it really is like, it really is like something you would get from Robert McKee. It is like that whole bit of adaptation, except just like unironic, like this is the movie we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Okay. Victorian, what'd you think of the daughter?
Corrections, shout outs.
No, hold on, hold on, because that actress
is 23 years old. I know. Okay, I don't have to. I thought that
I
checked.
Whose daughter she is?
She's a Sheen daughter. Is she Charlie Sheen's?
Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, that explains it. You know, it's so funny. I was just thinking about Kate Beckinsale this morning. I mean, no, not this morning. When I was at work. I was at work, and I was. I swear to you, I was at work. No, I'm not kidding. I really was thinking about Kate Beckinsale, but it was unrelated. And
I'll be thinking about her later tonight, too.
As it turns out, it's time to end the show. As it turns out, I was like, this girl, okay, she's pretending. I just want to point out, she's pretending to be 16, but she's actually was born in, she's very old. She was born in the 90s, okay? She was born in the 90s, Lily Mo Sheen. And so I was like, who is the Sheen? So it's not Charlie or anything. This is, I wonder who, okay, very interesting. Oh, I thought she was great. I thought.
Is she not Len Wiseman's kid too? Is that not?
I don't
Kate
know.
Beckinsale
I don't know.
Len
I just
kid?
Thought she was the highlight of this movie. That's all I got for you. Thank you for asking. I don't know why you would ask me that. You didn't ask Sonny. You asked me.
Hey, should we rank the Nick Cages?
Oh, is that?
Or do you want to save that for the bonus?
Save that for the bonus.
People are going to have to wait a few days.
Nicolas Cage draft, if you will.
There you go.
Nicolas Cage They'll draft.
Be thinking about
Three
this
rounds.
All weekend. The weirdness of the title. Can I just say this and then we'll move on? Is this supposed to be a play on unbearable lightness of being? Is that what this is?
I don't know.
I think it's again. It's a relic from when it was
grandiose.
A quirkier.
It's hard to remember.
When it was a quirkier story, a title like that would have made sense.
Ah,
right.
Okay.
But again, it's too conventional. It shouldn't have been as conventional as it was.
Well, so if you haven't seen it, by the way, Unbearable Lightness of Being, it does great on the quadrant. Let's just say that. Okay. All right, then. Any other thoughts on this? All right.
Nope.
Corrections, shout outs, anything?
Sonny, are you
drinking
Dos Equis?
No, Corona Light.
Corona.
Corona Light.
Oh, it's
imported.
Nice. That's a Corona.
99
from
Mazatlan. Brewed and bottled by Cerveceria Modelo, Mexico.
That's right. La Playa Más Fina.
Pacifico
know,
is Mazatlan.
Somewhere in Mexico.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at Sonny Bunch at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Tell your friends. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Don't wait 2 weeks for this episode. Until next time. I had one observation to end things. Do you have something other than that? Or I can go now. I can just... And you could end it yourself if you have something else
go.
To say.
Go. You could tell us.
No, but it's very short. It's very short. So just... Be prepared.
All right, I'll just say that we got a big game tomorrow.
Oh yes,
my boys, and I think I might let Flash pitch.
You should.
I had him do. I had him pitch against our team in practice yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny.
I'm sure.
All right, what do you got, Victorino?
The ending of. I was going to say what the name of this movie is. Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. I have to honest. This I'm being absolutely honest here. I did not initially recognize that was Demi Moore.
Oh, me neither.
Right?
Me neither.
Right? And I was like, oh, I think she's somebody. But Sonny, did you recognize her? You did. I kept on staring at her. Go, is that? No, it can't be. Is that?
Yeah, I was like, no, that's. I was like, oh, it's Demi Moore. This must be the movie. It must be a movie within the movie. They're making.
Yes. Well, the one thing I noticed is, well, that's not the actress who plays his wife.
So I thought the joke in that scene was that they cast as the daughter a girl with giant boobs.
Well, I think that was that was
right, wasn't that the joke?
Part of the joke.
Okay, that's great. But in the movie version, the daughter is like slow mo with her boobs jiggling up and down.
That's great. They could have.
But I didn't even notice. I mean,
real daughter would have been fine too. Real daughter would have been fine. That would have been great.
I'm sure it's fine.
I'm sure it's fine.